Welcome to Plastics Unwrapped. In this podcast series, you'll hear the experts investigating the innovations as well as the challenges the plastics industry faces. It is hosted by Judy Hicks and brought to you by Dow.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about feedstock recycling. It's also known as chemical recycling or advanced recycling. But what is it exactly? What does it mean for the plastics industry? And what could it mean for consumers and packaging? And why do we at Dow think this is a game changer for recycling? We'll cover some of the more recent exciting developments in this space and what needs to happen to make it mainstream. Today, I'm really pleased to have three guests with me to have that discussion. Carsten Larsen, Commercial Director for Recycling at Dow in Copenhagen. We're also delighted to have Siert Mellema, CEO of the Phoenix Ecogy Group in Amsterdam, and Ian Gulland, CEO of Zero Waste Scotland in Stirling, with us today. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Thank you.
So, Carsten, can you start us off with a brief explanation of what feedstock recycling actually is?
Yes, Judy. Feedstock recycling, advanced recycling, or chemical recycling, they all refer to various innovative recycling technologies that breaks down plastic waste into a liquid. You can say an oil-like substance or a gas that, after some modification, can then be used as a raw material for plastic-producing companies. Now, all these processes, they use a combination of heat, pressure, depleted oxygen, catalyst, and or solvents. And what makes feedstock recycling attractive is that we can recycle the so-called hard-to-recycle mixed plastic waste and give it a new life. That allows us, as an industry, to increase the recycling rates of plastic and also truly make plastic part of a circular economy. An example to this would be very thin films that are used in food packaging. They're very valuable, as we all know, and it keeps our food fresh for longer, and it, of course, limits food waste. Today, these films are quite difficult to recycle in an economically viable way. It takes a lot of resources to clean it, whereas with feedstock recycling, we can transform those films into a new raw material and eventually into new plastic food packaging.
So you refer there to hard-to-recycle mixed plastic waste, and I guess this is the challenge we have with traditional or mechanical recycling. So why is it exactly that Dow believes this is a game changer?
Well, feedstock recycling is indeed one of the solutions that allows us to recycle more plastic, as these technologies have the capability to recycle plastic that would otherwise be incinerated or even end up in landfills. But what really sets feedstock recycling apart from other types of recycling technologies is that you can actually make new plastic with the same properties as virgin plastic or plastic made from fossil fuels that can go back into food contact applications, so food packaging. This is truly game-changing and can really close the loop and make plastic part of a circular economy. The real challenge, Judy, ahead of us, I think, we need to scale up this technology and prove that it is economically viable and also reliable. I think this will require collaboration, willingness, and action from industry partners. We are making good progress, but we believe that feedstock recycling is really worth pursuing.
And just to be clear, just going back to when we talk about hard to recycle plastics or packaging, and we're talking a little bit about food packaging, just to be very clear, what is the issue? I mean, this is the stuff that people are seeing in the supermarkets. What is the issue here?
So you see, we've focused on making food packaging very sustainable over many years. So you have very, very thin films that consist of various layers of different plastic polymers. And those are very, very hard to then recycle. We are now focusing on the end of life, which means the plastic waste, food packaging, for instance, will then be able to go back into that chemical or feedstock recycling stream and then be made an oil and then become recyclable. Today, many of those films, because they consist of various layers of polymers, are incinerated or even in some countries, landfilled.
So, Siert, let's move to you now. And can you tell us a little bit more about the technology you're actually developing at Phoenix?
Yes, so we have developed at Phoenix a technology to reprocess those difficult or hard to recycle materials. Our process consists of a simple three-step process where the material coming in is reduced in size, and we do pre-sorting in order to get the material in the right level of homogeneity. Then we have a thermochemical process where we convert this plastic flakes from solid to gas in a very controlled way. And then at the final step, we condense that gas back into various fractions. And we have developed this technology in a way that we can assure that the final product is suitable for being used in a cracker after additional processing of cleaning it up. And thus replacing fossil-based naphtha.
And what does the partnership with Dow offer Phoenix?
Well, for most, we have with Dow a formidable partner in scaling up this technology. This is all early stage. It's definitely also a value chain approach. So as Carsten also pointed out, it only will work if we, all people involved in the value chain, have the same direction and looking for the same solution. And together with Dow, I feel very comfortable to walk this path towards circularity.
And Siad, maybe I can add to the perspective and the collaboration between Dow and Phoenix. I think there's three key things that, one, we share the same ambition around plastic circularity, as you rightly said. We want to find a solution to plastics circularity. Number two, the technology of Phoenix we see as very promising, both for future scale-up, but also in terms of making that economically viable. And also what you mentioned before is Phoenix already has an existing operation. So this is real. This is not something on a piece of paper. We're doing this today. And that's what really makes me and Dow excited about that partnership.
And I'm just bringing in Ian at this point. Ian, could you tell us a little bit about Zero Waste Scotland and how technologies like feedstock recycling kind of fit in with your organisation's strategy?
Yeah, hi. So Zero Waste Scotland is Scotland's circular economy expert agency. So we're fully funded by the Scottish Government to help Scotland pursue a circular economy agenda and make more use of the materials and resources that we already have in circulation in our economy, both as a kind of a waste opportunity, so making more of the materials that are falling out as waste, but also about how do we create a different supply and demand system which, you know, increases the availability of jobs, high quality jobs, and the maintenance, reuse, reprocessing of materials through our economy. And dealing with, you know, trying to reduce waste in the first place is a key component of our work. So working with businesses across Scotland and their supply chains to reduce the impact of plastics has been a real focus for us over the last few years. And clearly, as other speakers have said, I mean, there's businesses want to see their plastics recycled. So at the moment, that's quite challenging for a number of types of plastics, to, you know, the harder to recycle plastics. So there's issues there that this feedstock recycling starts to address.
Would you go as far as well to say is it a game changer?
I think it is. I mean, it certainly moved the whole debate about certainly the harder to recycle plastics forward. And obviously it's innovation, new technologies, but it's not, I guess it's only one thing. We need to remember that really the focus should be on reducing the use of, well, particularly single-use plastics, simplifying the types of plastics that are available so they are easier to recycle. So there's a lot more that we need to be doing, but certainly in terms of making, you know, plastics more recyclable, definitely is. But I think there's other things we need to think about. Certainly the collection of plastics is still quite a challenge for everyone. So we're putting the right systems in play, whether that's from households or from businesses, making sure that the actual supply chain of those materials is kind of wind and watertight and commercially effective as well. Also things like price. So we need to think about the market conditions here. So one of the things that really limits plastic recycling is that the price of recycled plastics competes with virgin plastics made from oil. So when oil prices are very low globally, then recycled plastics are not attractive for businesses. So whilst there is an appetite for people to start thinking differently about sustainability for plastics, the commercial impact of that will always be, you know, front and centre of, you know, big corporates who are in the supply chain. So I think absolutely technology, fantastic, but we do need to start thinking differently about the supply side of the materials in terms of the collection infrastructure that's available, the information to householders, the, you know, the demystifying some of the aspects of plastics in terms of the different types, but also what's that pricing mechanism that we're going to put in place to make this a really attractive proposition for the future.
Which brings me very nicely onto one of the challenges, I think. Question for you, Sirt. How are you going to guarantee the consistency or even just guarantee a supply of enough waste plastic to scale this technology?
Yes, thanks for that question, Judy. So we have developed relationships with a limited number of feedstock suppliers who are interested in partnering with us long term. And I'm therefore convinced that the feedstock supply will be secured in both volume and quality suitable for chemical recycling.
And Carsten, do you see if Dow can play a role there? Will it play a role there?
Yeah, we certainly will. And I'll piggyback a little bit on what Ian said about recyclability as well, because there's a lot of targets from various brand owners around recyclability, but also recycled content. So as we go along that journey of making packaging structures and plastic structures more, let's say, recyclable, so we have a lot of initiatives on design for recycling, for instance, but also we start increasing that recycled content of into packages, we will see an improvement of that feedstock or waste plastic, so to say, that will be available for feedstock recycling. So I think it's all initiatives that goes very well hand in hand that we're trying to optimize on some of the structures, which then again makes a better feedstock for this. And so I think it goes hand in hand.
Carsten, it's fair to say that feedstock recycling isn't a completely new technology. It's not a new process. So why do you think the industry is so focused on it right now?
Well, first of all, I think it's very important to say that feedstock recycling, and like Ian said, and like Siad also is alluding to, is not the only solution, but it will be potentially an important part of the solution. I think the process is today quite well understood, although there are maybe still some areas that can be optimized, and it hasn't been carried out on a larger scale with plastic circularity in mind, I would say. And also, you know, some of the economics needs to be looked into to see if we can make this a cost-competitive technology. I think our approach as Dow with Phoenix will focus on addressing some of these challenges. And we are determined to accelerate that progress in increasing plastic recycling for, let's say, for the items that have previously been considered difficult to recycle. However, that is a partnership approach, and we can't do this alone. And I think Ian said it well when you said, Ian, that it also requires investment and improvement in waste collection and in sorting systems. That's also key in this equation.
So, Carsten, just going also back to, we're talking about this, it's one of many solutions, but do you think eventually the industry would turn their backs on other forms of recycling, like the traditional recycling, mechanical recycling as we know it?
I would say a clear no. Both methods, mechanical recycling, feedstock recycling, will be vital in ensuring that we can achieve high recycling targets for plastic. I think, as a matter of fact, they're both complementary and we need both of them. Mechanical recycling is more widely available today. It tends to recycle plastic back into more, let's say, industrial type applications. And feedstock recycling, it provides us with the opportunity to create high quality recycled plastics suitable for food packaging, but also for some technically very demanding applications or even high value applications, cosmetic being an example. It also allows for plastic to be recycled infinitely, which is not always the case today. And we will continue to invest in both mechanical recycling and in new advanced technologies to produce that high quality resins with plastic waste content, as this really speaks to our commitment of a circular economy for plastics.
And again, Carsten, some NGOs have raised concerns over feedstock recycling's environmental impact. I mean, of course, I think a lot of the conversation around plastics is changing at the moment because it's not just the waste, it's the CO2 footprint as well. So is this a challenge for Dow and for Phoenix? What would you say to that?
First of all, I would say at Dow, we will only pursue the options which make environmental sense. And we are working with various partners at the moment on life cycle analysis of feedstock recycling technologies and all recycling of any material, being plastic, being glass, being metal, will have an environmental impact or a footprint because the processes, they require transport, water and energy consumption, and again, additional processing. And while we recognize that both mechanical recycling and also feedstock recycling have CO2 emissions associated with them, you have to look towards the alternative solution for plastic waste, which in Europe is mostly incineration today. And we all know when plastic waste is incinerated, it generates significant amount of CO2 emissions at the waste incinerator, of course. However, if we do recycle the plastic, we can avoid these emissions. And also, to be fair, and I hope Siad will agree with me on that, feedstock recycling technologies have not yet been optimized from a CO2 emissions perspective. They have been focusing on recycling plastic waste or hard-to-recycle plastic waste into valuable raw materials that can be used by the industry. And we believe that many of these technologies could potentially have similar or lower footprint than virgin plastic production today.
And Siad, what challenges do you see from where you're sitting right now? What challenges are going to be ahead for feedstock recycling?
I will answer the challenges first, but I would like to add to Carsten's statement first that...
Please do.
In case of Phoenix, its technology, we offer a minimum of at least 65% of reduction of CO2 compared to alternative recycling methods, which already is demonstrated today. And together with Dow, we are working on large-scale, optimized, advanced recycling, where we are aiming for numbers which is at the high 80% reduction. So truly sustainable at the minimum of CO2 emissions. And we can only do this together with partners like Dow on a large scale. Then I come to the challenges, because that was your question. The challenges, this is the way we see it, it's a transformation of the traditional plastic producing industry, where we are driving to circularity, but we are adding in a conventional industry a number of process steps that requires significant investments. And I see the biggest challenge for us, Phoenix, as being a scale-up company in this new space, to partner with the right people and being able to fund the necessary steps to finally get into this large-scale operation, because it's still new. We see tremendous interest from brand owners, but it requires capital. And that can only be done with partners like Dow jointly and demonstrating to the world that we have the possibility, we have the potential in our hands to make this transformation and ultimately get to a circular plastic packaging economy.
And that brings me back to you, Carsten. So significantly investing in scaling this technology is undoubtedly going to see big changes for the plastics business. So should we be worried about this as a traditional plastics producer, manufacturer?
So plastic is a popular material, and partly because it has great environmental benefits, like it increases the shelf life of food, which then prevents food waste. It lightweights our cars, so we use less fuels. It insulates our homes so that we use less energy, and it's protecting goods under transport. But again, we do have a plastic waste issue that we have to address. I think once we realize that plastic is too valuable to be lost to waste, and we start using plastic waste as a resource, and therefore, again, making it part of a circular economy, it will lead to changes in the plastic market as we know it today. We expect demand for plastic produced from plastic waste to grow significantly in the years to come at the expense of plastic produced from fossil fuels.
What about consumers, Ian? Are they aware that these technologies are being invested in and what it actually means for the global waste crisis that we're facing?
Yes, I'm not convinced they are. And I think that's one of the challenges. I think most people's interaction with waste and recycling is usually ends at the bin at their front door. They don't really understand where that goes to. I think, again, you know, people like myself and others have it's a challenge for us to provide the right communication so people understand, you know, the idea of the circular economy and, getting these quality resources back into the economy through different techniques, different technologies, and clearly feedstock recycling is one of them.
And Ian, maybe from my perspective or from Dow perspective, we've seen We've had very positive dialogue with brand owners. They've been out in the open with very, very ambitious recycling or sustainability targets, both around recyclability and also recycled content. But we've had very healthy discussion, I would say, with them that circular plastic is a more expensive solution than what exists today. But they seem to be ready to accept that in order to achieve a more circular solution. I think it's some interesting trends around that, and I hope that will translate as well and actually be driven by the consumers.
Yeah, I agree, Carson. I think that's what's in front of us. I think the people are much more engaged, and they want to see, you know, they want to see solutions, but they actually want to be part of solutions as well. You know, our work with consumers is the consumer wants to do something, wants to contribute to addressing climate change, wants to be part of it. And, you know, I think that's, you know, generally the sense is working together in partnership and getting that across to people to make sure that they feel whether putting the materials in whichever bin or box or reducing whatever they actually are contributing. So absolutely, that is the direction of travel.
Yeah, correct. And we also, I think, as an industry, need to take that to the next level, then show the scalability of these solutions and really show the reliability of these solutions as well. Otherwise, it's just talk, right?
Yeah, and that's it. And this is a huge opportunity, because particularly in plastics, because of an engagement around, you know, tackling marine pollution, there's obviously, you know, and other materials and climate change. People want this. People want to be part of this. People want to see what's happening. And you're right. I think it's beholden to all of us to kind of come out with this, to talk about it and to demonstrate what we're doing. And you're right, the scalability of it, and, you know, and to some extent some of the challenges around this. So they, you know, people feel that, you know, this is an innovative space, we're progressing, you know, it's not some of the, you know, it's not easy in terms of some of these technologies, you know, but also the application of it is not easy, but we need them on board. And I think this is a real opportunity for all of us, not to kind of, you know, hide things away and try and deal with them secretly. You know, this is a real opportunity to engage with both businesses and the consumer. I think that's, yeah, it's good to hear that.
Carsten, what do we need to do to make feedstock recycling a viable and long-term solution?
Yeah, so to make feedstock recycling a long, viable solution, it's very important with partnerships. So like the partnerships we're having with Phoenix today to address both the technical, I'll call them opportunities, the technical opportunities in the technology, including the LCA footprint, to make sure that we have the best low CO2 type of solution for this. I think also what Ian alluded to, the communication part, I think there's a real good opportunity to tell not just to tell a story, but the things that we're working on as an industry, they're really game changing. Feedstock recycling is an opportunity to take back plastics that we used to incinerate, and now taking it back, giving it a new life and becoming a food package or a plastic film again, which is great. So I think the partnerships, the communication, and again, also to use our knowledge as a material science company to solve some of the, let's say, issues, opportunities there is in a technology that is in its startup phase.
And Sirt, what would you say? What would you like to see from the industry to make this really something that's scalable and long term?
It goes along what Carsten said, Junie. So it can only be done if we take this joint approach as partners across the value chain. So communication is definitely another key topic. We talked about it earlier, that some of the NGOs raised concerns about feedstock recycling. And if we look into that, most of that was based on facts which were investigated some 20 plus years ago when pyrolysis was a topic. What we are doing today, and fortunately we work together with Dow, is to prepare fact-based the answers to where we are and how chemical recycling is performing. And we are definitely committed, what we already have been able to demonstrate, that this approach can substantially reduce the CO2 emissions. And doing that, I think it's not only going for circularity, but at the same time, we have a value chain which operates at a significantly lower CO2 footprint than it is running today.
And Ian, what would you like to see from industry to ensure this is a viable solution?
I think it changes what's been said already. I think there's, you know, certainly the collaboration is key for me. It's not just a technology provider. It's how it, you know, it's working with the likes of Dow and the supply chain. And I think there's probably further collaboration, as I said, into, you know, how does this kind of interface with the collection infrastructure, particularly, again, I'm thinking about households. I think that would be good. Again, that's about that communication, you know, getting early involvement or dialogue going about what's planning. I think transparency is, you know, and I think, you know, it's telling that positive story about CO2 emissions, you know, what's the impact of this, and, you know, making sure people are more aware of that. So getting that out. I still think there's a bit, and that's not really for the likes of Dow and, you know, others in terms of the technologies, but that pricing system, you know, do we need to do more? So getting some sort of input from the likes of ourselves, you know, in terms of that, you know, is there fiscal instruments that need to be brought in by governments to try and stimulate the investment further?
I think you make an excellent point there, Ian, about the working in partnership with policymakers in Europe. And I see from my point of view a couple of things. You know, one is to ensure that feedstock recycling technologies are really recognised as recycling, of course, because there's still some countries that doesn't recognise it as recycling. And then also what you alluded to about the right regulations are in place to support and enable plastic recycling, whether this is feedstock recycling or mechanical recycling. And that shouldn't be dependent on whether fossil fuels are high or low, but that should really be political instruments that are put in place to ensure that this is a viable business model for the long term. I think that's an excellent point you made there.
Well, I think it's clear we could keep chatting about this for a long time, but I'm going to have to wrap it up. So Carsten, Ian, Sirt, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
There are still challenges to overcome before we can scale this technology and bring it to market and realise its game-changer potential. But what's also clear is that we must work together as an industry and with policymakers to make this common vision happen. We therefore need to work together to ensure we have a consistent supply of waste plastic so it can be used again and it won't end up in the natural environment. And while mechanical recycling will play its part, it's also clear that the only way we're going to achieve real circularity and help meet the EU targets on carbon reduction and mandatory recycled content is a variety of solutions, which includes feedstock recycling. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Plastics Unwrapped. Creating a circular economy for plastics. The series is hosted by Judy Hicks and presented by Dow. Stay in touch and feel free to share.